Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us pray. We thank you, Holy Father, for gathering us here today. We thank you for all the gifts that you shower upon us every day. We ask that we would use them wisely in accordance with your will. In Jesus' name, amen. First of all, I got to apologize to you, Herb. Apparently, when I was running the congregational meeting, I took the second lesson with me to my office. And so if you need to read it later, it's in my office instead of up where you needed it just a little bit ago. So this week, we have a big day, right? Big day. You gearing up for it? I mean, family and friends gather around. It happens every year. And in many ways, it sets the tone for the rest of the year. Some people go all out for it. Some people, you know, just a little. And some people don't even, you know, observe it at all. Of course, I'm talking about Black Friday. Now, for some of you, the special ones, some of you have been shopping for, I don't know, since June for Christmas. But for us normal people, this Friday kind of kicks off shopping season, right? And it's a busy season, isn't it? I mean, we're going to be shopping from this Friday on because we have to buy those ever-important gifts. And they are very important, right? It's a way for us to express how we feel about other people by sharing a little bit of what we have with them. Of course, some gifts are, I don't know, more memorable than others. I remember two gifts that of the multitudes that my children have received over the years. One was given to my youngest, who turned 18 yesterday, which makes me old. When she was two or three, all she wanted for Christmas was a monster. I know, that's weird, right? Well, her reasoning was that she wanted a monster to scare away all the other monsters. Genius, isn't it? So I'm thinking, yeah, no problem. We can find monsters. They're everywhere. You know, a little plush monster. Monsters, Inc. was out. So, you know, there was the blue one or the green one. No. She wanted a pink and green monster. Yeah, there's plenty of those, I promise. So I'm like, honey, I don't know, like, they'd make those. No, don't worry. The elves can make it. Great. Yeah. Turns out they could. I guess they used Amazon. Because it's got everything, including a pink and green monster. And when she got that on Christmas morning, oh my gosh. Her eyes lit up, and that pink and green monster was her thing for the next 5 years. Everywhere she went, that pink and green monster came with her. It was a wonderful Christmas present. Then my oldest child, when she was four or five, all she wanted was a Princess Dora doll. Now, Princess Dora was special. Not just any old Dora the Explorer doll. This one was a princess. And it had a crown that kind of looked like a dunce cap, to be honest with you. But it had these jewels on it, a small one and a big one. And it came with a magic wand. And if you touched that magic wand or just pressed on one of those jewels, Dora would light up. She would talk and she would sing and her hair would grow. And then if you push the little one, her hair would ungrow. I don't know, shrink, get cut. But it was an amazing thing. It's all Rachel talked about. Dora the Explorer, Princess Dora, Princess Dora, Princess Dora. Finally, Christmas morning rolls around. She gets her Princess Dora. She's so happy. And she played with it for about 20 minutes. Turns out that Princess Dora is a hard plastic thing. The conversationalist, just because she can talk doesn't mean she can carry on conversations, you know? So turns out Princess Dora was kind of a boring thing. And so all of that worry, because Princess Dora was not easy to find. Santa had to really fly to a lot of stores to find that place. All of that basically got shoved under her bed. That's how a lot of gifts are, right? They just get shoved aside. Like my wife tells me that I've never had a hobby that I didn't like. And usually this comes about Christmas time or another holiday, which is my birthday, which should be a holiday. It is for me. But So I always, when there's not much I want, I'll go out and find a hobby. You know, something I think would be fun to do. And so I start getting all the supplies needed. One year, I wanted to do woodwork. Now, my father taught me all he ever knew about woodwork. He said, no, I know nothing. So he didn't teach me anything. But I went and I got a circular saw, I got a jigsaw, I got a sander and a drill. And I was ready. And I made, it was a picnic table that had seats attached that I didn't fit in, which was problematic. And it really didn't sit well because it was awful, okay? And that pretty much ended my woodworking thing. And so all that money, all that time that people spent for me to have those tools that are now stored somewhere in my garage. Now, periodically, I might need a drill or a sander, but wasted gifts. When you think about all the gifts, not only that you've given, but also received, how many of them have just, like, gone to waste? We remember a handful of gifts throughout our lives, but most of them, they wear out or don't fit or don't really live up to the hype, you know? I mean, this Thursday, which actually is the holiday, Thanksgiving, we're going to be giving thanks for all kinds of things, like Deacon Deborah just did, our family, our friends, our homes, our jobs, our stuff, our money. But of all of that stuff, how much of it is shared and how much of it just gets shoved under the bed? You know, how much wasting do we do of the stuff we have? You know, I don't know about your house, but at mine, there's going to be a heck of a Thanksgiving spread. And you think all of it's going to get eaten? Some of it, it's just wasted. That's a little bit of what we're talking about in today's gospel reading. Jesus tells a parable of three slaves, and their master comes to them and entrusts them with talents. One he gives 5 talents, one he gives 2, one he gives 1, each according to their abilities. And so the 5-talent slave goes off and he makes 5 more talents. The 2-talent slave goes off and he makes 2 more. And then the 1-talent slave, he's afraid of the master because he reaps where he did not sow and scatters and gathers where he didn't scatter seed. And so he just takes that talent and buries it in the sand. Well, the master comes back and the 5-talent slave gives the 10 talents. The 2-talent slave gives the 4 talents. And the master is thrilled, as he would be. Well done, good and faithful slave. You have been trusted with few things. Here, I now trust you with many things. Come into the joy of your master. Then came the 3rd slave, the 1-talent slave, the one with the least amount of ability. He digs up the talent that he had buried and said, here, I was afraid of you, and so here, I want to make sure that you got everything you had. Needless to say, the master was not too thrilled because he said, look, you're so lazy. You could have at least put it in the bank. I couldn't have gotten interest on it. What good is this? You completely wasted this talent. Now, I don't know about you, but as I hear this, it's like, okay, first of all, he's the 1-talent slave. That's not really fair. He had 1 talent. The other guy had 5. Clearly, he had more abilities, you know? I mean, it's like, if you decided to invest your money, are you going to go to a stockbroker or are you going to go to me? You know, I mean, you're going to go to the stockbroker because each according to their ability. I can preach a sermon, but I can't do anything about the finances part. So you go to him. So it makes complete and utter sense. And besides, he only had 1 talent. What are you going to do with 1 talent, right? In today's dollars, talent's worth $2 million. Yeah, that's not a little bit of money. So we hear this, and it's like, well, he just had a little bit. No, 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 no. Even the smallest amount was a huge amount. He could have done something with it, because even though he wasn't trusted as much as the other ones, who are you going to trust with your $2 million? Right? That's a heck of a gift to give to somebody to take care of for you. And still, the master trusted him with that. And I know, he's like, well, you could have at least put it in the bank. Well, you know, banks don't make any interest at 0.002%. $2 million, that's still a lot of interest. But he did nothing. Dear friends, you and I have been gifted with so much. So much stuff, so much time, so much money, so much talents. Some have more than others, but we have all been given a gracious amount. And we are all called to use it graciously. But how much of it do we just shove in a closet or under a bed? How much of it do we do nothing with? How much wasting do we do? How much time, how often do we just bury our talent in the sand? You see, you and I are all vastly gifted. I mean, whether it be financially or intelligently or with some gifts that other people can't do that you can do better than anybody else, and we've all been given the gift of time, we all have gifts and we are meant to share it, not shove it. So I think we need to take an accounting of what we have, because here's the truth. When we have the gifts before us, we can either hoard it, we can hold it, or we can help with it. So much of the time we end up hoarding it. Just ask my wife, I'm a hoarder. Not like TV hoarding, but you know, like if I'm making like a desk or something that came with a bunch of extra stuff, I'm keeping those screws because you never know, right? How many of you are you never know kind of people? Yeah, because you never know when you're going to need it. Churches are famous for being you never know. My first church, there were two Sunday school rooms because it's a tiny church. One of those Sunday school rooms was filled with all kinds of you never know stuff. There was a film strip projector in there because, you know, that's a medium that's going to come back. That along with the record player. I mean, come on, things that are never, ever going to be. Every leftover bulletin from the 1970s was in that room because you never know. I don't think God calls us to hoard our stuff. God does call us to hold our stuff, to use what we have, to use the gifts we've been given, right? We do have stuff. God wants us to use it. God wants us to take our pink and green monsters and use them to the fullest of our ability, right? To take it wherever we go. To the things that we're good at, do something with it. Make an income with it. Bless the world with it. Then we also are called to help with it. Because there's stuff that we have more than we need. Give it away. You don't need it. You don't have to keep it in a closet somewhere. Give it to some child who needs a Dora the Explorer. Give it to those people that don't have clothes or food. Share it with the world who needs exactly the talent that you have. Look, we've got enough storage units in Lexington. I mean, aside from Mark McAbee's, we don't need any more. You know, we have enough. But there's a lot of need. We need what you have. We need for you to share your gifts to show God's love. Don't hoard it. Hold it or help with it. Don't bury it in the sand. Take your pink and green monster and share it with the world. Amen.